Do you have an issues, etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your issues, etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues, Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
So often those contemporary issues are used to polarize. We see them as calling us together to convene. Our unity is within our diversity.
That's just nonsense. Of course, if you have diversity on key core Christian teachings and doctrines, you've got big-time problems.
Whole fitness for Jesus. I do feel a spiritual connection whenever you have the music on and it's singing about lifting you up and being closer to God. You do feel that.
Pop American Christianity, in an ill-fated attempt to get the gospel out, has really asked the world what it wants.
Washington jet drivers love Issues, Etc.
Christians can get confused on this question. Is death friend or foe? And you'll hear Christians talk about death as friend sometimes and then as foe other times. The Bible even tends to speak both ways, but often deals with death as the enemy, but an overcome enemy. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, April the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us here in the first few minutes of this Friday's program to talk about the resurrection of Jesus and death's hold on us. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest after that. We'll talk about media coverage of funerals, the burning of the Quran by a Florida pastor. It actually did happen after all the kerfuffle and confession. And then we'll play Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week with you, four Issues, Etc. sound bites for you to listen to and vote on at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. Pastor Matt Harrison is a regular guest and president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of an article in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Death's Precarious Toehold. Matt, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I think Christians are often confused on this point, especially at the time of death of a loved one, a Christian who has died. Is death friend or foe?
Well, I guess I would say yes. And it's much like the cross itself. Here the cross looks to be the worst defeat, the worst victory, I mean the worst defeat of Jesus and everything he stands for, and yet it's precisely the way the Lord's plan unfolds. And it was right in that death that the Lord is doing great things. And I think the Christian's death is, in a sense, of course, it is a terrible, horrid curse to go through. And I speak this from having years of experience at deathbeds and with people as they died and families standing around and my own family dying. It's a horrid, horrid thing. It is. It's almost indescribable if you've never experienced it firsthand. So it's a horrid curse. On the other hand, we know in faith that death means but a sleep, and that's why the scriptures constantly refer to death as a sleep. The body dies, the soul awaits eternity in the bosom of Christ, and Jesus promises that there's going to be a resurrection just like his. And somehow that body will rise again, just as Jesus' body rose again.
Can the Christian's death ever be separated in any way from Jesus' own death for us?
No, it ought not be. It shouldn't be. It's amazing. I like to go to old cemeteries. Sometimes if I have a little time on a Saturday, I'll get in the car early and go over to see some tombstones, etc. I've noticed that 75 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the tombstones have much more intense Christian connections, even in Lutheran cemeteries. Much clearer references to the cross, the resurrection, the victory of faith, and more recent tombstones are largely denuded of those kind of things. It's kind of an interesting thing. Christians have to have their death totally connected with Jesus. In baptism, we're connected with Jesus, buried by baptism into his death, such that we are one with Jesus, and where Jesus goes, we shall go too. Jesus went to death, we shall go, and we shall taste death. But Jesus rose again, and because we are connected with him, because he has grabbed hold of us, he takes us into and through death to life eternal.
You quote 16th century reformer Martin Luther when he says, "All the hold death still has on us, that is, on Christians, is by a small toe." What did Luther mean?
That was a very difficult year for Luther. He preached that in a series of sermons which were sparked by the death of his prince, John the Steadfast, 1532. And Luther had a terrible year. He had horrible tinnitus, that is a ringing in his ears. He said it sounded like a tornado, and it caused him to be down and unable to work for weeks. He was fainting in January of 32. He had some heart problems at the end of the month in January. He was being treated by all kinds of crazy remedies using dung, and he complained about the Dreck Apotheke, the excrement pharmacy. He was 49 years old, and he said, "I'm already dead. I just wish I were buried." And in May, he was fainting again, and finally, he couldn't even preach in the town church. He had to just preach at home. But then his health returned after just about the time his elector died. And so he had been through, he expected death, actually. And he had been to the limit and the edge. And he was lecturing on 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter. And he became convinced by the text that no matter what this life can throw at us, even death, that because Jesus rose from the grave, the head, he is the head, we are the body, and we are already, it's as though with Jesus we have already been raised from the grave. All we have left is a little toe hanging yet in the grave, that's it, and that will soon be extricated when Jesus comes again.
So he is, in effect, saying that death in Christ has no hold on us whatsoever.
No hold whatsoever. He says that death, the sting of death is sin. That's been done away with in Christ. We will surely die. That's our lot in this life. Nevertheless, death will be like just falling asleep for a brief nap and waking up fresh and refreshed in the arms of Jesus.
It's so difficult to believe if it were somehow grounded in me, if this were just kind of a subjective experience, because subjectively, Matt, you well know, I know from my pastoral experience as well, we've lost several very dear Christians in the parish where I serve as an assistant pastor in only the last few months, and I see the pain on the widows' faces when they come into the narthex, and it's real. I mean, it is as real as it gets. It's so hard to believe that as real as death is, it is conquered as alone as people are left after this. Death is conquered once and for all. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, how many times in the face of the verities of Christianity, whether it be creation or especially baptism, Lord's Supper, the pastor's absolution, how many times I have to say, "I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief." And the Lord sustains, even in the midst of my doubting and my weak moments. What for me is really extraordinary is that all of these apostles that experienced Jesus, they all burst upon the world preaching his resurrection. The book of Acts just starts out, that's it. They preach his resurrection. You killed him. God raised him from the dead. Believe and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And the apostles, everybody agrees, they all went out and got crucified themselves, killed, martyred for this message. What was it that propelled them out? Was it just a myth? Was it some kind of obscure event? It was the flesh and blood, the body of Jesus risen from the grave, which they saw with their eyes, which they heard with their ears, which they touched with their hands, as John tells us. And this propelled them out, this message of redemption propelled them out on the world. And that message has captivated a billion people in this world. It is the most profound event in all of history. And if you actually encounter the text, you can't get away from it.
So with that, Matt, what is the church's message in a world that is still, as far as we can see, and still insofar as we await Christ's return, ruled over by sin and death? What's the church's message?
The message is as old as the first preaching, where Peter came forth and said, "The Scriptures spoke of this Christ. Jesus is the Christ who fulfills the Scriptures. Repent, for outside of him there is no salvation. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Repent and believe the gospel. Your sins have been forgiven in Jesus. Repent, believe the gospel. It is yours. There's nothing for you to do. Jesus says, it is finished. Sin, death, and hell have been conquered. Eternal life awaits, and an eternal life that is not merely some kind of platonic floating around in clouds, an eternal life that is as concrete, in fact, more real and concrete than this world itself. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of that fact.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's authored an article in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Death's Precarious Toehold. You can read his column at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Matt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Todd, and may the Lord bless Issues, etc. richly.
Well, when we come back, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us. We'll talk about media coverage of the Quran-burning pastor.
Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Coming Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 8th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 9th. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Do you have an Issues Etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your Issues Etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.